Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
.057 The Fan presents Monday Morning Quarterback with Norris, Long, Khan, and Preston.
Hey, let's do something right now. Let's set the tone right now.
.057 The Fan.
Deep, deep drop. Jackson surveys. Jackson fires. Oh, touchdown. Rashad Bateman runs on every play. Can he get to the end zone? He can. Derrick Henry. Touchdown. Jackson. Flushed out, extends, throws on the run, caught, touchdown, Justice Hill, cleared the protocol, they get the two big stars back, meanwhile, there goes Henry, all the way for the touchdown. 298 rushing yards, team record in postseason, most allowed by the Steelers in a postseason game, and the Ravens are on their way to the divisional round.
That's courtesy of Amazon Prime. Welcome to Monday Morning Quarterback, sponsored by Catholic Charities of Maryland. Ravens advance after 28-14 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. They now go to the AFC divisional round and take on the Buffalo Bills. And how about the ground and pound game of the Baltimore Ravens?
Yay! About time. Been talking about this for like years. See what happens when you stick to what's good. 300 yards on the ground, 299 to be exact, out of 464, which it translates into other things. The game wasn't even as close as the 28-14 score. The Ravens held the ball for 40 minutes. I don't think I've ever seen that. 39 minutes, 33 seconds. When have you seen that in an
NFL
game?
It's like when your older cousin holds the ball up, say, jump.
Yes, get it. Come get it. They just dominated them completely, and they kept it on the ground, and King was amazing. It was just it was a beatdown.
50 rushes, 21 pass attempts, Mike. They stuck to the script.
And they needed to. I mean, because that's what they've been doing well. They've kind of turned into the bully boys, and that's what you want, especially this time of year. It's cold. Receivers really don't want to catch the ball. You know, just keep grinding. And then once you do that, because that sets up everything else. That sets up your entire offense if you can run the football. And I was surprised that they beat them up that badly. I mean, I thought the Steelers front five was pretty decent. And they probably are.
Not on Saturday.
But not Saturday.
Hey, speaking of which, front five, Jeremy Kahn. What was TJ?
Cancun on three. No, TJ was non-existent yesterday. Saw something a few weeks ago of a guy that had pretty much wrapped up two other wins on a parlay ticket, and he had T.J. Watt for Defensive Player of the Year and said, should I let it ride out? No. What are you doing? It's up for grabs when you look at that side of it. But Rosengarten, after 1 week telling somebody he's a nobody, comes down and shuts down one of the best pass rushers in the league. He deserves a ton
TJ
of credit.
T.J. probably called Myles Garrett. Man, why'd you encourage that dude?
Don't tell him he's somebody. He was nobody last week. But yeah, like, look, you're seeing some of the pieces, the reasons why the Ravens drafted some of these guys. Rosengarten showing out. I even think, you know, you start looking at what Filele's done this season and some other guys. Gives you some hope for the future that you've seen some positives from them, but Rosengarten especially.
Ravens had 4 sacks. Nnamdi Madubuike had 2 of them and a quarterback hit. They had 4 sacks, 7 hits, quarterback hits. Madubuike led the charge, getting to the quarterback, Russell Wilson. Good yardage game. But he was moved off the spot quite a bit. I love the game by Madubuike. Even when he wasn't getting sacks, he was getting pressure.
He gets pressure. And that's, I feel about that. I don't care. It's nice to get sacks. That's what you want. But if you can get a guy off a spot and you have him running for his life constantly, especially if you can collapse the middle, where he has nowhere to step up to, it makes a big difference. Wilson threw off balance so much. He didn't set his feet. Balls were sailing high because he couldn't. I mean, he just seemed definitely he did not get his legs into the throws.
I'm just a mad BK fan also, so whenever I can talk about him, I do. You Ravens know, advanced guy, they go to what?
I thought at the beginning of the season, I didn't think he played very well.
Oh, he did, because he did
up to the level I thought he was going to play. But since the middle of the season, it's kind of like kicked in.
It seems like it goes along with the whole defense turning it around.
It goes along with the entire team.
Yeah,
has turned it around where they have that kind of, I call it a beast mode, where you need tough guys. And he's turned into a tough guy. That's what he does, and he's relentless in pursuit. You know, usually you see guys, big defensive tackles, they can run about 10, 15 yards, and I would know. I've been in that spot before. And you get a little tired. This guy runs all over the field. That's encouraging.
Ravens advance to the AFC divisional round. They go up to Buffalo to take on the Bills after the Bills beat up on the Denver Broncos. And, you know, this is, we talk so much about the Chiefs, Jeremy, but this is one of those matchups we've been waiting for as well. Ravens took care of business against the Bills in the regular season, but they owe them a playoff whipping.
Yeah. Are you guys surprised at all that they made this a Sunday game at 6:30?
No.
I thought they were going to do AFC Saturday, NFC Sunday with the way things were setting up, but. This is obviously the marquee game of the weekend. Make no mistake about it. So,
I think they split the two teams that everybody wants to see. They got the Chiefs on Saturday. Am I right?
Yep.
And the Ravens on Sunday. You don't want to put them both on the same day.
So it's interesting because I said, and people love to like call you out on this. I said I thought the Ravens would be favored in these next, you know, all three playoff games if they, no matter where they played. Kind of right, but a little off on the numbers because the Ravens are a 1-point underdog, and maybe by game time, I think they're going to be favored, which means
they'd be favored on a neutral field.
Yeah, so, and that's kind of where I was going. The fact that it's a 1-point game and it's going to be a pick 'em, it's fun. But you got two guys that are vying for the MVP, and I don't know why we have to crap on one to bring up the other, because if you heard Josh Allen talk about Lamar yesterday, I'm sure he's not thinking the same thing because he was just talking about how much fun that dude is to watch.
It's a social media thing. Where they just trash each other, trash the other quarterback.
It doesn't make any sense.
They're both playing well. Barkley's playing well. Everybody's name who's being mentioned has had a good season.
Yes.
All right? Leave them alone and let the guys do the pick and stop yapping so damn much.
This is exactly what Josh Allen had to say about Lamar.
Well, they got after us earlier this year, so we got a lot of film to watch. It's a great team. It's a great quarterback, obviously, with Lamar, what he's able to do. He's one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic, quarterback in the league. He's so fun to watch, but I'll be watching their defense this week, so that's our focus.
Makes sense, right? Yeah.
I mean, I like game recognized game. Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you can sit on the sidelines or sit at the keyboard and say whatever you want. But when it comes down to a game-recognized game, and that's what Josh Allen just did.
This MVP debate is so ridiculous just because it's almost like politics. You're not getting anybody to change their views now. Like, Lamar's stats are better across the board. Almost every single one of them, except for what? If you add up the turnovers, he has one more than him. If you add up the rushing touchdowns, he obviously has more than him. But when you look at a whole, the statistics far superior and support Lamar. And when you look at the other side of it, everybody goes, well, he's doing it with less. And that's the argument. That's it. Like, there's no other argument that goes on between this. Like, okay, well, what does that have to do with anything? But
they're both great players.
Yep.
410-583-1057 is the number. I'm going to talk about the Ravens' wild card round win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The narrative of not being able to beat the Steelers is dead. Steelers now left to take care of business on six consecutive postseason losses. 3 and Out up next, right here on The Fan.
3 and Out.
Baltimore Ravens take care of business on Saturday, 28-14 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. In a game that, if you watched it, didn't seem that close. Pittsburgh hit a 14-point third quarter. But by then, they were playing catch-up and the Ravens weren't having it. Jeremy Kahn, give me your up.
All right, my up goes to that little guy on the back end, Ardarius Washington. I mean, he was all over the place. At one point,
he hits hard.
He does. I'm like, where the hell did that guy come from? Yeah. And he laid out somebody. You saw him getting up on a third down after getting the stop and just yapping, talking. And I know we all talked about the big switch at safety when you moved Kyle Hamilton back and you started Ardarius Washington. That was a key cog in this team's success this year, because since that move, they've been a top five defense, and I think a lot of it has to do with the little guy on the back end.
What's your down?
My down is, look, I'm going back to George Pickens. I don't know if you guys heard the post-game press conference, and somebody asked him, do you have optimism about the team moving forward? He's like, no. I saw somebody else write, and I'm not trying to be rude. Does he know what optimism means? And it's not a good look there. He finally, like, he played okay in the game, but it's not a good look there. I saw him laughing and joking with, who was it? Was it Humphrey towards the end of the game? But that kid's got a lot of growing up to do, so I gave him my down.
I think the laughing and joking was Humphrey talking trash to him, and he was trying to talk, you know.
Maybe.
You said it's not a good look for him, and I get that. But I'm going to ask you a question. You know what the meaning of the word is. Do you have optimism for the future?
No.
Exactly.
But he can't say that.
He can't say it. I agree with you. Bad look for him. But who has optimism with the Steelers?
Let me say something here. All right. Pickens, you know he's this disgruntled receiver. All right. You would figure that you would come into this game and they would get him the ball early just to get him going. He had one catch in the first half for 8 yards. Mm-hmm. What are they thinking? And you didn't go after the Ravens' corners? Are you kidding me? No wonder he's pissed off.
It's funny that on a national level, people now know Brandon Stevens' name. But on a national level, they're talking about him.
Everybody knows him and the other guy, Tre'Darius White or whatever, just as bad.
Mm-hmm. God, I forgot he was even on the team here for a while.
So did the Steelers. That's why they went after him. It's just, don't get me started. If you got a good receiver, just get him the ball. Get him into the game. One catch, 8 yards. And I was watching, was like, whoa. Why hasn't he challenged Stevens yet? Did not do the third quarter.
Ed, what's your up?
My up is Derrick Henry. I mean,
he's tired.
I was excited when he got here, but boy, he has really exceeded expectations. Everybody said, he's 30-yard running back. Back. 26 carries, 180. He could have 200 yards easily yesterday. He was on fire. 2 touchdowns, including a 44-yard burst through the middle. He's strong. He basically punched the guy in the face with a stiff arm and almost knocked him out. Bam! He just hit him in the face mask and knocked him down. It's like, who does that? And then he could run like 21 miles an hour. It's just, he's been such a great addition.
He and Likely's stiff arms were off the charts.
Oh, Likely's was great. It was awesome.
What's your down?
My down is Mike Tomlin's future. I'm not dogging him. I think Tomlin's a fantastic coach. But the cries for his replacement getting louder, they haven't won a playoff game in like 6 years. The last Super Bowl they won was against the Cardinals in the 08 season. They went the next year, lost to the Packers. But it's been a while, and you know how it is. People want to know what you're doing for me lately. It's been quite a drought for them. You look, 2017 loss, 20 loss, 21 loss, 23 loss, and of course, years it didn't go like 18, 19. So it's been quite a while for them.
Sometimes coaches are like players, stay too long.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to move.
Message gets old.
Need environmental change and does you well.
Yeah.
My up, Ravens offensive line. We don't, the narrative before was they're bad, Lamar makes them look good, but man, the more you look at them, They're pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
Man, they're pretty good, man. When you have 50 carries for 299 yards, 6 yards a carry, I mean, come on, dude. My high school coach told me this before. The most hopeless feeling you have on a football field is not being able to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It makes you hopeless. I mean, because you can drop back to pass and throw a bad pass.
The Packers that way when it was third and one yesterday.
Yeah.
They're like, God bless it, 1 yard. You know what's going to happen.
You just can't. When you can't stop that run and the Ravens just demoralize the Pittsburgh Steelers defense with 50 rush attempts, that's going downhill, that's leaning forward and absolutely cleaning your clock.
Can I change my up? I want my up to go to Rob Long. Not because he runs up the score on opposing teams and dominates them.
No,
because
he would never do that.
Because he's smart enough to know that he should go before Mike Preston because Mike's probably going to steal him.
Oh, yeah. I got I got semi-stolen over here when he gives the Pittsburgh Steelers playoff record because mine is my down. Pittsburgh in the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. These guys, honestly, I mean, right now, I said it on Friday, Mike, and I'll say it again. If you're smart, if the Chicago Bears are smart, they will call Pittsburgh and spend one of those first-round draft picks that they have this year and say, let this guy come here and change the culture, because it's over in Pittsburgh. It's over. As much as I love them, it's not going to happen. They have not won a playoff game in 8 years, man. You got it. There's a change that has to be made. Pittsburgh is probably afraid to make that change because it's Mike Tomlin. You let him go.
Yeah.
If I'm the GM, do I want the guy that all he does is win and lose in the playoffs, or do I want to pull the trigger and get a guy who can't even get you through the playoffs? That then all of a sudden, nah.
Now I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
So instead of firing the head coach, does the head coach fire his defensive coordinator?
How about firing the GM? Because the Ravens have low draft round picks, and they find people. So don't tell me Pittsburgh's excuse is, well, we can't get a top draft pick. A lot of playoff teams can't get top draft picks and still get good people. So because you can't get a top 10 draft pick, you can't find good people?
Are they going to clean house, dude?
They got to clean house eventually. I mean, how many years are you going to wait? You're in purgatory right now. I mean, you can't. I'm telling you, if I'm somebody between the Bears and the Steelers, ought to stop playing chicken and make this move, because everybody wins with this.
The big thing for him, got to find a quarterback. You haven't found a quarterback to replace Big Ben.
So find me a quarterback, GM.
You know, you haven't found that guy.
Remember that time the Steelers fired a coach? Remember that time?
Yeah, it was about
Bill Cowher.
I had hair.
They didn't fire Bill Cowher. They didn't fire Chuck Noll.
Chuck Noll.
They don't fire coaches.
No, they don't.
They don't fire coaches.
And he's there longer than Cowher now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Cowher's at 15 years.
I'm just saying, they ain't looking good in Pittsburgh right now. And we all love Tomlin, but sometimes you can wear out your welcome.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's gone on there for a while when you talk to the fans, and it's amazing because you talk to anybody outside of Pittsburgh, like, man, that guy's a damn good coach. He's done more with less. And I think we got the same feeling with Mike Vrabel now signing with New England, even though...
What a shocker that was.
Yeah. They brought in two minority coaches to say, yep, we crossed that box. See you guys later.
Well, you know this would happen.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted Vrabel from the start and bring him in. It's like, come on.
Well, Vrabel's smart. I don't want to be the guy that replaces Bill Belichick. I want to be the guy who replaced the guy who replaced Bill Belichick. I can go nowhere but up now.
Yeah, I'll take a sandwich.
I didn't replace Bill Belichick. I replaced Gerard Mayo. That's smart. What do I replace that for? Bill Belichick, man, you don't fit in there. Now come to the rescue. Da-da-da. Baltimore Ravens take care of business on Saturday, 28-14 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Ravens now get to go to the AFC divisional round. Yes, sir.
Do I get an up?
Oh, go ahead. What's your up?
Damn, because you stole my stuff. All right. And I'm going to take it a little deeper, though. The offensive line coach. And I'm going to see if I can get his name right. Last name is Warhop. George, first name. To come in and replace Joe D doing training camp. Learn a new system. Learn these guys who you didn't know before. And to get them to play this well, it's pretty amazing, especially when you're starting a rookie over at right tackle. You're starting Filele, who's a third-year player at guard. And you got Ronnie Stanley coming back after playing poorly the past two seasons with ankle injuries. To get them to play like they have is pretty good. But also, if you watch some of the things they do, and I always watch offensive line guys play, the angle blocks that we talked about 2 weeks ago, but then what I saw the other day was they were letting these guys go down and then just reverse shouldering them down in the alley, and Lamar was reading it and just going to the outside. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if they're doing this on purpose or they're just this smart. I don't know. I have to go back and look at it again, but that's incredible stuff. My down is, I'm still concerned about their coverage in the secondary. I mean, you're beating this team 21-28, and then all of a sudden, they hit two plays, and they're back in the game 28-14. Like, no, you can't let them back in. You can't let them, because that's their style. That's their MO, to hang around, get within striking distance, make plays at the end. I'm still concerned about their coverage. I'm still concerned about the corner position, wherever Stevens is, wherever White is. I think they're good with Marlon Humphrey. I think they're good on the back end, but that one corner spot, and even Wiggins concerns me a little bit because he's a very hands-on kind of guy, and that's great for college, but it's not very good in the NFL. And 5 yards, that's the rule, and then you got to let him go, and sometimes he doesn't turn around either. So that's my concern.
Jeremy, ain't that a bitch?
Yeah.
He said I stole his, and I put it in yesterday at 1:36 in the afternoon.
But you ain't said it to me.
Well, I stole his.
All right, repeat.
Said it to me.
All right, repeat.
Mike texted me at midnight on Saturday. He said, these are mine. I know what he had.
Bite me at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, reviewing Lamar Jackson's performance from Saturday's 28-14 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Monday Morning Quarterback sponsored by Catholic Charities of Maryland on The Fan.
Jackson's going to get it.
Two.
Jackson throws. Touchdown, Baltimore!
How did Baltimore's top signal caller perform?
So it'll be a third down and 13 for Baltimore. Jackson lines up in the gun. Justice Hill flexed off to his left. Two receivers right, one left. Andrews on the right end of the line. Jackson takes the snap. He's back to pass. Plants his feet. Plenty of time to survey the field. Fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Ravens! Rashad Bateman running the back line of the end zone, and Jackson put it right on his numbers.
Yeah. Bateman with a big catch, a touchdown catch, one of Lamar Jackson's two touchdown passes. He was 16 of 21, 175, two touchdowns, no interceptions, passer rate of 132. Efficient day, Ed Norris, efficient day. He averaged 8 yards per attempt, so that wasn't low. He also ran 15 times for 81 yards, averaging 5.4 yards a run. So still well over 250 yards on the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, he runs for 81 yards or whatever, and you don't even think about it anymore. That's a good day for a running back.
Yeah. I mean, and meanwhile, his running back had 105 yards more than him.
And could have gone for 200. Yeah, it just, I think Peyton Manning said it best. It's just talking about, has a two-time MVP raise his game? Well, he did. And that's basically what he's done. I've never seen him look like this. His passes are much better than they were in the years past. I tell you what I noticed the most, I think, about him. He looked like he was in command.
Yes.
He looked relaxed. He looked like he was in charge. You know, none of the stuff he talked about.
Isn't that what you want from your quarterback?
Absolutely.
Above stats.
Yeah.
What you want is total command of the offense.
Look, when the house is on fire, you want somebody who's going to get you out safe. Just not panic. Get you out safely. Do what's got to be. That's him. I think he just looks like a different man.
Your thoughts, we'll hear from your report card later, Mike, but your thoughts on Lamar's performance.
I thought he played well in the first half. I thought his passes were extremely accurate. You know, across the middle. I thought the Ravens were a little conservative in their approach using him, but that's fine. I had nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, especially when you're running the football. Second half, I thought the Steelers improved their coverage, and he had to make some windows, some throws in tighter windows. But overall, I mean, he came out and he established himself as a runner. And I'm not sure his body can hold up running like he did, but, you know, they kept pinching down their outside linebackers, and he was like, you can pinch down all you want. I'll run outside you all day, and that's what he did. So he established himself, made himself a presence. They had to honor that, and then they had to honor, you know, the big man inside. So
before I get to you, Jeremy, you talk about the conservative play calling. I felt like the Ravens saw what they had in the Steelers on Saturday. And when they realized what they had, they said, you know what? Why show anything? Let's dial this back and do the least that we can to win this football game.
Well, I think a lot of teams did that.
Yeah.
When you play bum teams.
Inferior opponents.
Yeah, I mean.
You figure it out. Okay, we got them.
You saw that in Buffalo.
Because even the run game was simple.
The only good game was the last game was last night.
Yeah.
Everything else was a beatdown.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills came out and they just ran the football. They were like, nah, man, you guys can't play with us.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to stay with what we do best. But it'd be interesting to see what happens now because the competition is closer.
Yep.
The quarterbacks are better. Let's see what happens.
It's all legit up. Now.
Yeah.
And we didn't show anything.
Yep.
Jeremy Kahn, your thoughts on Lamar Jackson's performance on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, Mike and I kind of had a conversation about this off the air that it felt like in the playoffs, a lot of teams, including the Ravens, did get a little bit more conservative. But, you know, sometimes you just got to lay it up and just not make mistakes. I felt all along with the four-game losing streak and watching the Steelers and some of the actions or interactions on the sideline that there was some wholesale issues with that team. I didn't think they could push the ball down the field. When they made it interesting or somewhat interesting in the third, I kind of got a little surprised. But, I mean, Lamar settled everything down, made all the plays. I started laughing yesterday because Bills fans were talking about the touchdown throw that Josh Allen made on 4th-and-1 to their fourth-string running back, saying that's the reason he's the MVP. And I'm like, he said Lamar could make that play, and then immediately somebody drew up an Isaiah Likely play where he threw across his body. Yeah. It's just like you're not going to get one over the other. I think everybody's made up their mind. The weird thing is it's flipped now, and Lamar is actually the favorite. Which
you
makes
were standing
sense.
On business on his MVP thing, aren't you?
I mean, I just
one thing I'll give him credit for. This has been his battle cry for 5 weeks.
I've been saying this since week 4.
Well, no. I'm talking about the pushback against everybody since for the last 5 weeks.
I mean, look, it's been a big talking point nationally, and it gets frustrating, but you see so many people giving dumbass arguments regarding this. Like, it's like, oh, Lamar's stats are, let's see what Lamar does this week. It doesn't matter if he throws 10 touchdowns. You're still going to tell me he's doing it with less.
Don't you find it odd, Ed, that Lamar becomes the favorite after the votes are in?
Yeah.
They all knew it.
The votes are in.
Let me tell you.
Mike.
If he doesn't win, this is rigged. It's like.
The man is the underdog for the past 2 months of MVP.
Josh Allen was minus 600.
But now that the votes are in, Lamar is the favorite.
That means if you bet 600, you win one.
Oh, my God.
And now it's not happening. Lamar's like a minus 250 now. Yeah, he's going to win it. But getting back to the point, like he did everything he was supposed to do on Saturday. Have no issues with any part of it. Now I think the pressure comes up a little bit more now because you're going on the road and you're facing a top-notch offense that will be able to score on your defense. But I just don't know that Buffalo is going to be able to stop Baltimore.
They can't handle their run. They're too small. They're gonna run all over the Bills.
Is it the too little side? Hey, the palm belt.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's what Ed was doing.
They're too light in the ass. They are. The linebacker is way less than the running back.
They're a little light in the loafers, there, Chief. You're not going to be able to tackle him.
That's a different meaning.
It is?
Light in the loafers is a different meaning.
No, his loafers was light. No. I saw him. I could lift him up.
Cha 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 cha.
Oh, boy. Bite me at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, we go around the NFL up next on The Fan.
Around the NFL.
It's time for us to go around the National Football League. Let's start with the first game from Saturday. Jeremy Kahn, tell me all about those Texans and Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, this is one that I was kind of shocked on, and I'll take out the extra third arm and pat myself on the back because I think I was one of few that picked the Texans to win this game. I just didn't understand it. Like, I understand that people watch the Texans going down the stretch and go, whew, they're not good. But if you watch the Chargers, I said the same thing. They just pulled out a couple of wins against bad teams, and they were dominating that game. But they came away with 6 points, and you're like, you're letting them hang around. You blinked, and then the Texans scored twice, and that was that. You weren't coming back in the game, and they kind of handled them. Joe Mixon went off in the second half after they kept him under wraps. Nico Collins had a big day. Congratulations, Texans. You're going to Kansas City to lose.
Yeah, how about that?
Ladd McConkey, by the way, in a losing effort. Oh, my God, what an amazing day.
He had a great day.
Almost had 200 yards receiving.
Yeah. Ed Norris. No, sorry, Mike Preston, could you tell me about the Bills-Broncos game?
There was a game?
No.
No, there really wasn't a game. It was 31-7, Bills win. Josh Allen, 20 of 26 for 272 yards, 2 touchdowns. James Cook, 23 carries, 420 yards. Denver came out, scored early, and you thought they might have a chance in this game, and then all of a sudden it just turned quickly. And it turned in the third quarter when they just came out and dominated them. And, you know, for all the people who were talking about this MVP race, it was kind of funny watching. They still had Josh Allen in the game late, and he's still chucking the ball, and he's taking some wicked shots. And I'm like, these head coaches, what are you doing? Get these guys out of the game. I mean, I said that last week about John Harbaugh and Lamar. Why are you getting him beat up? Get these guys on the bench. I don't know. Maybe that the MVP talk, it gets it in their brains too a little bit.
Well, it shouldn't have for yesterday.
These
it's
guys
over.
Off the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still. No, you saw all the stories this week that saying how he was ticked off because Lamar was Pro Bowl or whatever. I don't know all of this stuff. But
and not starting
was,
in the Pro Bowl.
And he was ticked off. And I'm like, you know, head coaches get like that. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen it before, and I'm seeing it again. They get attitudes.
Yeah, they sure do get attitudes. Hey, Ed, tell me all about the Eagles game.
Well, the story is one-sided. The Packers didn't score a touchdown through the fourth quarter. They fumbled the opening kickoff. The Eagles scored on that. But what I really noticed yesterday, I mean, that was a lopsided victory, I'm sure you know. But now the Eagles won 22-10. And said the Packers didn't score until the fourth quarter. And the usual suspects did great days. I mean, Saquon is just, he's different too. He had a 119-yard day. Jalen Hurts, you know, not many yards in the air because really didn't need him. 13 for 21, 131, two touchdowns. But what I noticed, and I think what the difference is with this team, you know, we've all talked about their defense all year, and rightly so. It's an incredible defense. That offensive line is ridiculous for the Eagles. Ridiculous.
They're good.
Oh, my goodness. I always look at the Lions. The Lions have a great offensive line. But the Eagles, Jalen Hurts had like 8 seconds to pass when he threw that first touchdown. I'm like, I could have. You could have had a Coca, Bruce was saying, Coca smoking an SK dog. Like, they're just like hanging out. And then, you know, the brotherly shove or the tush push, whatever you want to call it, they're not even close to anyone. And I figured out why. I looked up their starting offensive line. The center is 6'3", 303. So put him to the side. He's a tiny little guy, 6'3", 303.
Yeah, he's a small guy.
Pilata, 6'8", 365. Dickerson, 6'6", 332. Becton, 6'7", 363. Lane Johnson, 6'6", 325. They're all 6'6 or better and way into the 300. They're enormous. This is an enormous offensive line, and they're really talented. I'm like, holy God, I hate to face these guys. But, yeah, so the Eagles, that's going to be I assume it's going to be Eagles-Lions in the NFC Championship.
Did you see the stat they released yesterday that said that Barkley was getting 2 yards into the line of scrimmage before he was getting hit?
For contact, touched. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It's amazing, yeah.
For the final game, the Washington Commanders with a victory on the road, 23-20 over the Tampa Bay Bucks. You heard Jeremy Kahn talk about it earlier. Baker Mayfield only threw the ball 18 times for 185, two touchdowns, no picks. A phenomenal passer rating, 146.5. Just not good enough. Jaden Daniels, he goes 24 of 35 for 268, two touchdowns. He didn't throw a pick either. He also ran the ball 13 times for 36 yards. The Commanders went on a last-second field goal that hit the upright and went in. Mm-hmm. By it was Zane Gonzalez. Hits the upright and goes in, and the Commanders get the walk-off win. They advance now. They take on who, Jeremy?
All right, so we have
the Lions.
Washington plays the Lions. Yeah. Of course, we know the AFC side. It's the Texans, Chiefs, and, of course, the Ravens, Bills. And then the flip side, get to find out tonight with the Rams and Vikings who's going where.
Yeah, big win. Big win, though, by the Washington Commanders. Do you think maybe we start talking about the wild card round needs to be redone because so many different blowouts like we did with college football players?
People have already started doing that. They've already started doing it. It's stupid. Like, there are people right now going, are you telling me the Bengals couldn't have performed better than the Broncos?
They had 17 games to do it and they didn't.
You could have you won more games and not been so sorry-ass the entire year. Like, what is it with people? There are reporters in Cincinnati that are going, I can't believe we're not. I can because I did the math and you didn't add up. You didn't make it.
It's called the wild card round for a reason. These are teams that didn't win their division, playing teams that did. They're going to be lopsided.
The Bengals won 9 games. The Steelers won 10 games. The Ravens won 12.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's simple math. Is there a 9-win team in the playoffs?
Maybe on the NFC side.
In the AFC. There's not a 9-win team in the playoffs.
No.
So, there's no reason to talk, Bengals people. No reason at all.
Bengals people.
They're still mad at Kansas City saying, they sat their play. No, they sat their players because they reserved the right to do so because they won so many effing games early in the season.
Let's go to Bob at Timonium. What's up, Bob?
How's everybody doing this morning?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'll tell you what. my quarterback's gotten to where he's just totally uncoachable. I told you a couple of weeks ago he don't listen to a damn thing I say. He doesn't. This is the third time he's done this to me in the red zone. I'm telling him to throw the damn ball away, and he refuses. Time's running out on the clock at the end of the first half. We're up 14-0. I'm like, man, we got a nice little easy field goal here. Don't do anything stupid. He's running around out there like a jackass. People chasing him. They even got Mike Tomlin came off the bench chasing him, I think. And he drops it. He drops it off over there to Justice Hill, and it's a touchdown. And I'm going beside myself, going completely crazy. Because you know how I feel about him. I don't want to hear no MVP bull crap or anything like that. That guy, every week when I watch him, he does something that I've never, ever seen before in my life. And it's week after week after week. I mean, it's just crazy.
Hey, Bob.
And the rest of it.
Hey, Bob, yeah. You said, and you stopped and came back. What were you about to say that you couldn't say on radio?
Hey, I said it on Saturday, and everybody in the room's looking at my girlfriend. She said, he does this at home, too. This son of a bitch has lost his mind.
Hey, Bob, have a good week, man. He's about to drop an MF-er.
Mary Franklin.
There's no doubt about it. He said this, and he's backed up.
I was still laughing when he called me daddy last week. So good, man.
You don't hear that often. 410-583-1057 is the number. Mike Preston's report card. We'll have that at 7:30. But on the other side, bite me. Sal for the post-game press conference with John Harbaugh up next on The Fan.